Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
Now you're rolling. This is an interview with Skipper Frank Herman, Jimmy Weldon, in the trailer at Huntington Park. Paul Mayer is the moderator.
Tell me, where are you from originally, Frank?
Poughkeepsie, New York.
And who are your parents, and what kind of childhood did you have? What kind of background did you have? Was it a happy childhood?
No, well, my folks were separated, and I was selling magazines, actually. Saturday Evening Post and Ladies' Home Journal. Got a penny and a half profit on each one we sold, because they both sold for a nickel. And I found Poughkeepsie, New York is 75 miles up the Hudson River from New York City. So it was a break-in town for vaudeville. We had 40,000 people and 5 vaudeville houses in Poughkeepsie. One was a full week vaudeville house, and the other were split weeks. So you could actually see 9 vaudeville shows a week in Poughkeepsie. And I found that the actors liked to buy the Saturday Evening Post, and they were the friendliest, nicest people I've
met. You an only child?
Yes. Uh-huh. And
what did your mother do at that time for a living?
She was a buyer in a department store, uh-huh. In a small department store, the Wallace Company in Poughkeepsie.
And when you say you weren't that happy, was it? Were you aware of your parents' breakup? Or
in those days, in a town like Poughkeepsie, and going to a Catholic parochial school, anybody that didn't have a father, divorce was not. And my folks weren't divorced; they never divorced. As a matter of fact, they finally went back together again much later in life. But having no father was a great stigma, you know, a social thing.
Yes.
And if I had been a girl, it would have been even worse, as I found out. I married a girl that had the same problem.
My father left at 5, so I understand.
Mine left at 3,
yeah.
And came back when I was 19. And you can imagine that there was another one.
Good, yes. Something else to
adjustment.
Deal with.
Yeah. But at any rate.
Now that you've adjusted, he has to adjust.
That's right, yes. Uh-huh. But I just gravitated toward show business. I couldn't sing or dance, and I found the Adrian's Memorial Library that had marvelous books on magic, ventriloquism, and puppets. And since I was already kind of an outcast, I became an all-the-way outcast by being a magician by the time I was 11. And this got me across the tracks. Poughkeepsie is one of those little hidebound towns, a town older than the United States. Dutch founded it in the late 1600s. And one time, for a couple of minutes, it was once the capital of the United States. It's a historical place. Roosevelt was from there. Rhinebeck is where the Roosevelt home is, the Franklin Roosevelt. It's an old, old part of the country. And there's the right side of the tracks and the wrong side of the tracks. And the way that you got along was by knowing your place. Did you ever hear that sentence? You've got to know your place. And I guess that's all since gone, you know, that whole attitude. But that's the way you got along in a town like Poughkeepsie, by knowing and keeping your place. As a matter of fact, it was even a question as to whether, that's all right, okay, fine. A question as to whether you went to high school. Was that a decision in your time?
Mm-mm.
Were you automatically going to go to high school?
Yes.
Let's hear about you.
Yeah?
Well, I just, unlike Frank, I was the baby of the family, am the baby of the family. I have 2 older brothers. I was born in Texas, and when I was about 7 years old, we moved to Chickasha, Oklahoma. It's about 52 miles south of Oklahoma City, and I grew up there, went through school in high school, grade school, and on junior high. When I was about 8 years old, I saw the first movie that I ever saw in my life called 10 Nights in the Bar Room. The most frightening thing that ever happened. That solidified my life. It's what I was going to do. I never grew up like any kid wanting to be a doctor, an attorney, or a fireman, or a policeman. I knew I was going to Hollywood. Didn't even know where it was. Never heard the town, but I knew what I wanted to do at that moment.
Yes.
That's why now is my motivation. I know what it is to have something happen to you to crystallize your thinking, good, bad, or indifferent. And so when I saw this picture and it frightened me so much, my mother asked me about a week later, what's wrong with you? And I said, Mom, I see that little girl, and I know I can't stand it. And I explained to her what the movie was. Mom said, it's all play-like. It was all make-believe. And I thought, what? And at that moment, I realized, man, this is fun. I'll live just to be in place. I did. Went through school. I never wanted to do anything. And again, as I say, understanding motivation. I had every play in high school. The people even come to me, do you like this play? If I did, I said, yeah, we'd do it, because I was going to star in it. Now, this is not ugly. I'm talking about where they just knew. I was yell leader in school for 7 years. Always out in front, man. Anytime I could put on a show or do anything to perform,
That was it.
Okay. And I came out to Hollywood in 1941 after I graduated. I'd been on the radio, just did one radio thing with Jimmy Wakely and his trio. He used to be in Oklahoma City. Yeah. He'd travel around, he and his two guys would travel around with him in different towns and put on little amateur shows, which we all grew up with.
Sure.
And he heard me one time on the stage doing Three Little Fishes singing Donald Duck, imitating Donald Duck and his three nephews. I got up there, now singing Three Fishes, and they booed me off the stage. Man, I was sick. And I got off the side and was crying. He said, listen, you come back. I'll be back in about 3 weeks. I want you to do an act with Donald Duck and his three nephews. And I said, no, I'm not coming back. He said, you want to be in show business? I said, yes, sir. He said, get the act. And I said, okay. And I got home, told my mother, and she said, we'll write one. And we did. And the next time he's there, I won it. And then we were in Oklahoma City. I came out to Hollywood. I won the amateur contest here, Million Dollar Theater in Los Angeles. I went back to Oklahoma City and won the statewide amateur contest doing the same act. And then Jimmy Wakely moved to Hollywood. I came out to see him. Just quickly, I was working at the Entree Cafeteria at Hollywood and Vine. One night, I walked down the corner about 10:30 and I was standing on Hollywood and Vine and I looked down toward Grandma's Chinese Theater. I was 17 years old. I said, someday you'll stand on this corner and they'll know who you are. And it was 12 years later, Webster and I had been nominated for the Outstanding Children's Show in Los Angeles in 52 and 3.
I was telling this story
to a friend of mine. We'd just gone to the Plantages Theater. We were walking across the street. And I was telling him about this happening. He said, isn't that funny? You've been nominated twice, the Outstanding Children's Show in this area. I got across the street and there was a drugstore at that time. And a man, his wife, little boy and girl came out of the drugstore and she says, Daddy, look, that's Uncle Jimmy. Webster's daddy. Man, I got on my knees, just crying. She says, can I have your autograph? I said, you can have anything I've got. The guy says, what's my thing? He said, you should have heard what he was saying. That's why I say in my talks, no income on earth is equal to that of psychic income.
Yeah.
As an entertainer, Frank will understand this so much. But anyway, that's the thing that I did. I went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts only on the basis of that picture that I saw. It all came home when I starred with Ronald Coleman in Halls of Ivy. And I walked through that door, I was sitting there, and they says, and I had to look at him, I said, Dr. Hall. And Ronald Coleman's sitting there looking up at me, and the guy says, cut! And I thought, oh, what have I done? I said, I'm sorry. He said, no, no, give me a scram over his right eye. Jimmy, I want that expression. Do that same thing again. But I'll tell you, sitting here, all that went through my mind, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, that kid, his little boy, I'm in Hollywood, that's the most famous star that I'd ever seen, and his name was on the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London. And I thought, this is it. And I did everything that I had dreamed of from the time I ran out of that theater as a little boy. I know what goal setting is and what it can mean. That's why I relate with television. I see things on here for children. I know what it means. It can either be detrimental or good, one or the other. It's the greatest media that was ever designed. I told my life story to 150 doctors in Dallas in 1950. The guy came up after his order, he said, man, I ain't interested in you, but I'll buy any part of that duck. Just from what I had said, you know. So since then, that's why I still say, Frank and I talk about courtesy. We try to get the kids to remember the bicycles. Yes. All the things that are going on today, they have come from television. Paul, I don't even doubt this, so help me God. This is a fact. The good things can be so great on TV, or they can be so bad in society. No one sits down and tells their little child, like my mother did to me, babe, it's all play like it was for fun. They watch these guys beat up each other. That's why I think somewhere a doctor said more children died in suicide in the last few years than ever before, between 5 and 7. They don't know what it is to die. They see a guy do a part of something. He got hung. The next day, he's something else. I'll just hang myself and be back tomorrow as something else.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.